Well, it's clear now the Turnbull government plans to revive efforts to stop conservation groups challenging major resource projects in the courts. The Prime Minister yesterday expressed concern over systematic, well-funded environmental campaigns targeting developments such as the giant Adani coal mine in Queensland. The Federal Environment Minister, Josh Frydenberg, is in Slovenia, where he's attending the first meeting of the International Whaling Commission since Japan defied that landmark court ruling to stop its annual whale cull in the Southern Ocean. I spoke with the Minister, Josh Frydenberg, a short time ago.
Nice to be with you, Fran.
We'll come to your portfolio in a moment, but here at home, the breaking news late yesterday was the Solicitor General, Justin Gleeson, resigning, claiming his relationship with the Attorney General has, quote, irretrievably broken down. Should the Attorney General have allowed this to drag on so long, leading to this outcome? Should there have been a circuit breaker in this attempted earlier?
Well, I think we've now got that circuit breaker. And
pretty high cost for the Solicitor General in the office, though, isn't it?
Well, he's done the honourable thing because the relationship was untenable, and clearly George Brandis was surprised to learn that during the election campaign, the Solicitor General spoke directly to the opposition without informing him. And clearly you do need trust between the first and second law officers of the Commonwealth. That was not apparent to anybody. So now the Solicitor General's done the honourable thing, and I think we can put this event behind us.
Earlier on the program, we spoke to the Shadow Attorney General, Mark Dreyfus, who said there was absolutely nothing improper with that phone conversation when he rang the Solicitor General. But he also said this government now has a pattern of behaviour against officials. Let's listen to Mark Dreyfus.
And we see the same thing in the attack on Paul Grimes by the Deputy Prime Minister, forcing him out of his office as Secretary of the Department of Agriculture. We see the same thing in the attack that George Brandis has repeatedly made on the President of the Human Rights Commission. This is a government that can't bear criticism, that attacks everybody who dares to speak the truth to it, and then turns around and says to anyone who raises this, like me, you're politicising this matter.
Okay. Is this a government that can't bear criticism?
I completely reject that from Mark Dreyfus. I mean, he's the one who's inserted himself into a partisan debate now with the Attorney General, and unfortunately the Solicitor General became a part of that debate. But clearly Brandis and Dreyfus have their differences. They can play those out on the parliamentary floor. But you know, as for this issue between the Solicitor General and the Attorney General, I think we can now move on from that.
Let's go to the environment now, to your portfolio and to the changes. If we go first to the changes flagged by the Prime Minister to stop what he's been described as vexatious litigation from green groups, will you try again to legislate to stop green groups mounting court challenges to mining projects?
Well, Fran, I think it's important to go back to the context of for why we actually moved these changes in the first place back in 2015. It's because when the Coalition introduced the Environmental Protection, Biodiversity and Conservation Act in 1999, there was a broader category compared to other acts of those individuals and organisations who would have standing to seek judicial review of Commonwealth decisions. So unlike other acts, in the event of the EPBC Act, all you needed to do was to be an environmental organisation or individual who had been involved in the conservation, the protection and the research into the environment. This has led to nearly 40 third-party challenges, whether it's to mines, to dams, to roads, and very few of those have been successful. So quite clearly, groups are undertaking these legal challenges to disrupt and delay projects, to make them unviable, to increase investor risk. And this goes against the original purpose of the EPBC Act, and that's why we've sought to make changes. Now, clearly, in the last Parliament, it didn't have the support of the crossbenchers.
Well, that's not the only reason. I mean, Parliament's Scrutiny of Bills Committee found that such a change could lead to, quote, the inability of the courts in at least some cases to undertake their constitutional role.
The point is, in a whole series of other areas, you don't have this broad category of individuals and organisations withstanding to seek judicial review. And we think it's only appropriate that you bring the EPBC Act into line with these other acts. Now, this is not to say you can't seek judicial review if you've got a direct interest, if you're a farmer or if you're a landowner who feels you may be adversely affected by a decision. But we can't have the situation where this is US-style vexatious litigation, which is tying these major projects down in the courts, costing millions of dollars, whether it's in legal fees or billions of dollars, in what would have otherwise been development and jobs. And you can even take the word of the former Queensland Labor Treasurer, Keith De Lacy, who said that a project in 2008, which is prior to the EPBC Act, would normally take about a year to get approval. Today, it's at least 5 years, in some cases longer. And that is bad news for Australia, and it's bad news for our investor profile.
Well, you mentioned the United States. The latest comments from the Prime Minister yesterday, again sparked by revelations from WikiLeaks that a US foundation is funding the group behind the Adani Challenge, the Sunrise Project. I mean, is it really surprising or even improper in a matter as global as climate change that international environment groups are supporting major challenges against coal mines?
Well, I think there's little we can do to stop funding of direct interests who may have a stake in the outcome of a particular case. That's a broader discussion about DGR status or others who may seek to fund these cases. But what we need to do is bring it back to the original purpose of the Environmental Protection, Biodiversity and Conservation Act, which was all about creating certainty for the environment and for the project proponents, to have very strict environmental assessments, which we do, and we stand by our environmental assessments, but ensuring that when those decisions are made, they can't be dragged through the courts for years and years, which then create projects which would otherwise lead to jobs and investment going offshore and being indefinitely shelved or delayed.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest is the Federal Environment and Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg. Josh Frydenberg, you're currently in Slovenia for the International Whaling Commission. This is the first of these summits since Japan defied the ruling in the International Court of Justice that it should stop killing whales in the Southern Ocean. Last year, Japan culled 333 minke whales. You're sponsoring two motions to try and force Japan to stop hiding behind its so-called scientific program. How much progress are you making?
Look, we're making very good progress. Firstly, this meeting is very important because it is the 70th anniversary since the International Whaling Convention came into being, and it's the 30th anniversary since the moratorium on commercial whaling was put in place. We're very disappointed that our good friend Japan has seen fit to continue its so-called scientific whaling in the Southern Ocean. And last year they took 330 minke whales, and again they're proposing to take similar numbers, even though we defeated them in the International Court of Justice. So we have moved a motion here at this conference in Slovenia to ensure there's much greater scrutiny of the so-called scientific research methods and the permits that countries are able to issue to themselves to go and catch these whales, because what we're seeing is a great development of technology, whether it's acoustic tagging or satellite tracking, or whether underwater listening stations, where we can use non-lethal methods of research to get a much better outcome for the environment, for the whales, than would you otherwise get when you use legal means, which Australia utterly rejects.
With respect, though, Japan has basically just ignored all our protestations and other protestations and has gone on culling whales, as you've said. It's also partially withdrawn from the ICJ jurisdiction to prevent further challenge. How far is Australia going to take it? Foreign Minister Julie Bishop has previously warned we could force Japan back to court, and conservation groups want Australia to send a patrol vessel to the Southern Ocean this summer to monitor the Japanese whaling fleet. Will Australia do that?
Well, we've made it very clear that what Japan has done is unacceptable to us. Some of our legal avenues are limited now that Japan has withdrawn, as you say, from aspects of the international court's jurisdiction in relation to these matters. So even though we won that case back in 2014, they've now developed another scientific program which is outside the boundaries of that original judgment. As for sending a vessel down into the Southern Ocean, we did do that back in 2007-08, and we had some aerial surveillance back in 2013-14. We will consider our options and what is available to us, but we would call on all parties, whether it's the Japanese, whether it's the Sea Shepherd or others, to respect safety at sea and to ensure that there's not any conflicts on the Southern Ocean.
That's the Minister for Environment and Energy, Josh Frydenberg, joining us from Slovenia, where he's attending the meeting of the International Whaling Commission. It's 12 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.